I saw Amber back there with just a little pep in her step today, just a little pep in her worship, and I want to believe it was the Lord, but it might have been Ryan up on the stage. I don't know. I'll counsel and find out later on just what was causing all of that. Wonderful, wonderful family. This is exciting. We're in week two of a series called Great Expectations, and I think your faith is like my faith. It's high. We believe that God is ready to do some incredible things, some powerful things for our church and for our lives. It's not just a corporate thing. It's not just a group thing, but it's you and I individually. How and in what ways is God wanting to work and is God wanting to move? And so this literally is a series for our faith. Remember last Sunday we defined the word expect, which is the root for expectation, and it means to look forward. It means to look forward with anticipation, to look and to believe that something is going to happen in my life. Let's practice in some expectation exercise today. Just look at someone near you today and say, something good is going to happen in your life today. Yeah. Now find someone else. Find your second choice. Find the person you didn't pick the first time and tell them something good is going to happen for you today. You know what? You just helped create expectation. Someone may have responded, what is going to happen for me today that is going to be good? How is this going to work? How is this going to happen in my life? I want to read again Isaiah chapter 43. This is our key text, and it's just sort of the foundation of this series, if you will. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. He says, I don't want you to remember the former things. In other words, don't remember the negative. Don't remember the difficult, at least in a way of expecting more of the same. Now, I'll qualify that statement because it always bothers me a little bit when I'm hearing preaching and someone says, just forget your past. Well, the reality is I can't, because it's a part of who I am. I'm the sum total of all of the experiences and the mistakes and everything that's happened in my life up till now and up to this point in my life. And so it's hard to forget those things. But what he's saying is, you don't have to dwell on that. You don't have to keep referencing what happened 10 years ago in your life or what happened to you as a child as a reason for why you cannot believe or expect the new thing that the Lord is wanting to do in your life. So I'm going to look at this story in Acts today that I think provides the perfect backdrop for great expectations. It's in Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. And if you want to open there, either on your Bible or on your smartphone or tablet, whatever you may have, or if you want to follow along on the screens today, I'm just going to work through these first 10 verses or so, and I believe that God is going to speak to our hearts. But you're probably going to remember this story. Peter and John are going to the temple at the time of prayer, and they encounter a man who has been lame from birth. One day, the Bible says in verse 1, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. I want you to notice the specific timing, specific timing. They're going on this one day, and they're going at 3 in the afternoon. The Bible and in other versions calls it the hour of prayer. I don't really know if that was the specific hour in which they prayed every single day, or if that was just the hour they were utilizing and choosing that worked in their schedule that particular day. But I honestly believe that it was not an accident. We began talking last Sunday about God's timing and how God began to orchestrate and began to put all of this together, began moving me from Texas to Georgia. God is very specific about his timing. And I think all of us face that, all of us deal with that, because we have questions like, why has this, why has that not happened in my life yet? The answer is very simple. It's not time yet. Why hasn't this worked out? Why hasn't that come together? It just isn't time yet. But if I live my life in expectation, if I live my life believing that whatever it is that I need and whatever it is I'm desiring, whatever it is that I'm wanting to work out, if I live my life in expectation, hold on, because it is going to happen. There's no doubt about it. Then verse 2 says, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Just a man. I've always been curious about this man. This is one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. I've preached from it so many times, I couldn't even count, but I've always been fascinated by this man. The King James says it was a certain man. It's this man. It could be any man. He could be any race. He could be from any education background. He could have been raised by a single parent or by both parents. He's just a man. But the Bible says the identifying characteristic about him is that he has been lame from birth. He has struggled his entire life. He has wrestled with and dealt with issues his entire life. I don't know if that resonates with you. Maybe you've struggled for as long as you can remember. Maybe you've dealt with a crisis or pain or some issue for as long as you can remember. Maybe it's something that you were born with or something that you were born into, and you just can't get away from it. And even though the people you were born to are gone, the mindset is still with you. And so it feels like it's something that you have struggled with from birth. I'm here to tell you today that this series can help those who have been down too long with twisted expectations, thinking that only bad is going to continue in your life. Every single day they bring him to this gate. Every single day. 365 of those a year. Every single day, this is where you will find this man. It's interesting that I believe our future is defined by what we do every day. The disciplines, the routines, the habits that we live every single day, it seems to define our future. What is it that you are doing daily? What is it that you are doing right now? Good, bad, ugly. What is it that you are doing every single day that is defining your future? This man is laid at a gate that is called Beautiful. That's literally what the gate is named, the Beautiful Gate. He was a broken man in a beautiful place. He was a broken man in a place that is beautiful and appealing and attractive. That helps me empathize with people that are in a beautiful atmosphere like this, where his name has been exalted so powerfully today, and yet I'm still broken. People who have been a part of the church for so long, and yet that there is still a brokenness, still a pain, still a struggle, still a problem, still a crisis in their life, broken in a beautiful place. Just hold on, because I believe the word is going to help you today. Verse 3 says that when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. That's what I'm teaching today, begging for change. Begging for change. He looked at them and was hoping he could get some change from them. He asked them for money. Now, if you want my personal opinion, I think all of these men knew one another. Number one, prayer was the daily norm for Peter and John, and two, this crippled man was brought to this same spot every single day. Whether or not they always stopped and had conversation, in fact, they probably did not have any conversation at all. There were very, very strict rules for a beggar in Bible times. They could not look someone in the eye. They had to wear a beggar's garment. That's why Bartimaeus is interesting. You may hear about him at some point in this Great Expectation series, but the Bible said that he threw off his garment. He threw off his cloak. He threw off the beggar's garment. They had to wear an identifying piece of clothing that said this is an approved beggar. We vetted this beggar, and he is a legitimate, real beggar. And so they wear that garment, but they're not allowed to look anyone in the eye. And so if you see this lame man who is at the gate, beautiful every single day, then you're going to see him with his head down and with his shoulders covered with this beggar's garment. But he sees Peter and John coming down the road. He sees them on their way to church. Maybe they have dropped coins into his cup before. Maybe they have dropped change into his little container there at other times, but he looks at them and he wants to ask them for money. He wants something from them. The lame man, he's asking for all that he knows to ask for. All I know to need, all I know to want, all I know to desire is a little more change that can get me through the next few hours of my life. All I know to do is to get enough into this cup that will afford me something to eat tonight, a place to lay my head, and transportation back to this same routine tomorrow. So I'm looking, I'm wanting change. I'm hoping that you will put something into this cup. I'm hoping that others will follow suit, because all I know to ask for, I think that's indicative of too many of us. All we know to ask for is just that little bit, just that crumb, just that enough prayer, just enough encouragement that will somehow get us through this one day. We're not even thinking about next month. We're not even thinking about next year. We're not even thinking about the rest of our lives. We're trying to figure out how to survive the next hour, the next 4 hours, the next 8 hours of our life. How do we get through this? This man is begging for change. And the Bible said that Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." I'm going to invite you to break the rules, beggar. I'm going to invite you to go outside of the law. I'm going to invite you to go outside of your norm. I want you to look at us. I wonder, Mr. Beggar, who's been there every single day. I wonder, Mr. Man, who has been lame your entire life. I wonder if you can change your perspective. Change what you are focused on and look on us. It's not about look at Peter, look at John. It's not some celebrity thing. It's not some inappropriate thing. It's look at something different. God told Abraham, look out from where you are. Lift up your eyes. I've got more than just the ground you've been walking on. I've got more than just the few steps around you that you have been taking. I've got so much more, but I need you to look up from where you are. Peter and John looked at this man and said, look at us. Change your perspective. I believe before you and I ever get what we need from God, before we ever get the miracle, before we ever get the breakthrough, we're going to have to change what we are focused on. We may have to change who we have deep conversation with. We may have to change what we watch on television. We may have to change what media we read. I have to change my perspective so that I can see the possibilities of what it is that God wants to do in my life. So verse 5 says that the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. What time is it? Do I have time just to work this thing out for just a few moments today? He looked at them expecting to receive something or to get something from them. He needs change so bad that he's willing to do whatever it takes. And better than that, he is expecting it. Can I tell you today that the reason he got something on this particular day is not because Peter and John were feeling particularly generous. It's not because someone finally got their attention. The reason this man got something that day is because he was expecting it. He was expecting it. I think too many of us are missing the good things that God wants to do in our lives because we're waiting on someone to invite us, waiting on someone to grab us by the hand, waiting on someone to pull us down to the front of the church. No, it begins with my expectation. Don't wait on someone to call you. Don't wait on a letter to arrive in the mail. Don't wait on someone to tap you on the shoulder. If there's something you want from God, you ought to go after it. If there's something you desire in your life, you ought to reach for it. It begins with your faith. It begins with your expectation. He looks at them expecting to receive something or to get something from them. His feet weren't working any better in that moment than they were working the day before, but I'll guarantee you this man was sitting straighter than he had in past days. I guarantee you he had shoulders squared, if his body would even allow him to do that. I guarantee his head was held just a little bit higher than it had been in a long time. Why? Because that's what expectation will do for you. That's what faith rising in your life will do for you. That faith, it is the confidence. It's the confidence that, hey, I am God's and God is mine. I belong to him and he belongs to me. No, everything may not be perfect in my life. I may not have everything like I want it to be, but you better know that I am so much better than where I was. I've got so much more than I used to have. I'm still on my way, but guess what? I'm on my way, and it causes me to square my shoulders and believe good things are possible and great things should be happening. Why? Because my expectation is growing, and I know that God is able to work in my life. Verse 6, then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. This is where the message is interesting to me, because this man knows something is happening, but he doesn't even know what it is that's happening. He's expecting that he's going to receive something, but again, His expectation is defined by what he has received in the past. So he's thinking today is going to be a two coin day, or my expectation is going to afford me five coins today. All he knows to do is to believe what, and based on what he has received before. And that leads us to the first challenge of great expectations. Number one, God has to raise our expectations. You ought to write that down, because I believe it's a word that could help you this week as you process and as you walk out this word. God raises our expectations. This man thought he was going to get more money, but no, this is different. And that's what Peter is saying. It's not silver and gold that I have for you. What I have is much more. What I have is much greater. What I have is much bigger. Listen, God is not trying to give you just enough to survive on, or just enough to get by on. He wants you to have that John 10:10 thing working in your life. I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I'm not just coming so that you could have existence. I'm not just coming so that you could have the average. I'm not just coming so you could just have the Monday. I'm coming so that you can thrive in your life, and so that you can be blessed in your life. I want you to have everything that I have promised is available to you. Anybody want that kind of life? So God raises our expectations. How do you go from expecting the worst to expecting the best? You know how? God raises our expectations. The second challenge with expectations is that God has to redefine our expectations. First, he raises our expectations, and then he redefines our expectations. Listen, if I could just get some change to get me through another day. We think in terms of what we've always wanted versus what God knows we need. So instead of me begging for change in my cup, what if I begged for change in my life? Instead of me begging just for enough to get me through another meal or enough to get me through another day, what if God redefined my expectations and I started believing that there was more for my life, there was better for my life, there was greater for my life? What if we started believing as a church that there was so much revival available to us, that there was so much growth available to us, that there would not be an empty seat in this room, and chairs that we've got stored around the building would need to be brought and services added? What if God redefined? Maybe with all that we've been through, we need God to raise our expectations, and we need God to redefine our expectations, that we're not just a church that exists, but we are a church that is so blessed and so God ordained, and a church that is so anointed that people are lined up in the park. I'm telling you, don't mess with me, because I see police officers out at the front of the entrance. I see lights flashing all up and down this road, trying to direct traffic to get into this house. What happened? God redefined my expectations. I'm not thinking small, I'm thinking big. Oh, we just begging for change. Yeah, I just need to redefine what change is in your life. Because change is not survival. Change is abundant. Change is not just enough. Change is more than enough. Just need to redefine how you see this and how you think about this. James 4, verses 2 and 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. We don't have it because we do not ask God, listen, if the only thing holding me back from my dreams coming true and my happiness coming back and my joy being full is just me asking, listen, you may need to cover your ears because I'm about to ask the Lord for some stuff because I don't want the only thing keeping me from my blessing just to be my own stubborn mouth that is not willing to ask God for what I need in my life. I'm going to ask him. You ought to get as relentless as your kids who will keep asking and asking and asking. We used to get my mom, just say, we'll see. Say, we'll see. No, just say, we'll see. Because if she'd say, we'll see, then there was a chance. There was a chance. She may not have believed it. She may have lied straight to us. But it gave us hope. If she'll just say, we'll see. Listen, we have not because we do not ask. And when you ask, verse 3, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. If I had a dollar for every single person that came and said, pray I get a job, I'm going to pray you get a job that you can still bless God and be faithful to God and serve God's house, and they get the job they've been dreaming of, and where are they? Where's so-and-so been? They're working. I'm going to stop praying for people to get jobs. Because as soon as you get what you've always wanted, you backslide. Not talking about you. I don't know you well enough yet. I'll preach about all of y'all next year. Preach about all of them right now. No, you got to make sure if God gives you what you want, if God gives you what you have been asking for, that then you turn around and bless God with the thing that he gave you. Look at verse 7, because here comes the change. The Bible said that Peter, taking him by the right hand, helped him up, and instantly, somebody say instantly. You know that means right now, don't you? You know that's an immediate thing. Instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. How do you go from a lifetime of weakness to all of a sudden you are strong? How do you go from one service in one moment, in the blink of an eye, at the snap of a finger, how do you go from I've been weak and struggling or addicted or broken to all of a sudden there is strength in my life, there is favor in my life, God's blessings are in my life? I'm telling you, I'm preaching to some folk at the church at Covington on this February Sunday that are about to go from weak to strong in the blink of an eye. There are people that have been struggling. There are people that have been down. There are people that have been broken. There are people that have been broke. I'll go ahead and say it, but I'm telling you, God is about to do a work in your life that you're not even going to recognize your past. You're not even going to recognize the last few months of your life. What happened? All of a sudden, somebody got you by the right hand and helped you up, and all of a sudden, your feet and your ankles became strong. Is there anybody in this room that wants to worship from a place of strength? That wants to praise from a place of strength? That wants to cry out to God from a place of strength? I know what it is to pray from a place of desperation. I want to try praying from a place of strength. God, you've been so good to me. How could I not pray today? You blessed me so much. How could I not lift up my voice and give glory to you and give honor to you and magnify you? How could I not lift up my hands? How could I not lift up my voice? I am worshiping you from a place of strength. Verse 8 says, He jumped to his feet and began to walk. I don't know what he looked like. I don't know if it was that newborn giraffe thing. I don't know what it was. I don't know what he looked like when he began to walk. He hasn't walked in his entire life. What does someone who's been bound their entire life look like when they begin to walk in freedom? What does someone who's been lost their entire life look like when they start living a saved life? The Bible said that he, this man, went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. It wasn't this, well, God did something in my life, I think I'm just gonna get used to this for a little while. I'm just gonna see how this feels and see how this looks and just see what this does. No, this man went all in. He jumped in with both healed, blessed feet. He went walking and leaping and praising God. He didn't run to the marketplace. He didn't go to the mall. He didn't go to the rec center. He went into the house of God. Because when God does the miraculous in my life, I need to do the right thing with the miracle that he gives me. He went further into the presence of God. He went further into the work of God. He went deeper into the things of God. Oh, God has been so good to me. God gave me the change that I have been looking for. In verse 9, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wait a minute, it's me. What you doing now? I'm worshiping God. I'm serving the Lord. I begged for change and I got it. I worshiped my way to a miracle and I'm still worshiping because God raised and redefined my expectation. Come on, stand with me all over the building. The Lord is here. The Lord is here in a great way. In a great way. I'd love for my prayer team to come. If you're in the building available, come spread out across this room. I believe there are people in this room today that not only need miracles, but you're looking for miracles. Not only do you need breakthrough, but you are expecting breakthrough in your life. Expecting it. You're believing that God is going to work by his power in your world. Anybody believe that God is able to do that? Come on, spread down, Brother Don. Come on, Bill, spread down. Spread down. There you go, there you go, there you go. Good. I'm believing God. Now you're new here. Who are these people down here? This is not anybody you're coming to tell any secret to. This is not even somebody you have to come talk to. These kind people have prayed today and sought the Lord today and asked God to bless them and to use them today to pray for your needs or to lead you in prayer today. They're harmless. You don't have to tell them any secrets. You don't have to confess to them anything. They don't even need to know your name. They'll just be happy to pray for you because the Bible says that we're two or three. Agree. If I agree with Brother Don, listen, I need a miracle in my life. I need God to work in my life. Guess what? He's one, I'm two. He said where there's two or three, that he's right there in the midst of that situation. That's where I need God. I need him in the middle of my mess. So I'm not embarrassed about praying with anybody. If somebody wants to pray with me, come on, let's pray. I need the Lord to help me. And I guarantee you there's other people that you're not comfortable with that, and that's okay. You can pray right where you are. You can find that spot over there. You can find that spot right here. You don't have to connect with one of these people. We just want to make sure the atmosphere is right for you to receive what you need from the Lord today, because I know as sure as I stand here that there are needs in this room. And I know that there is a God who is ready to meet those needs. Father, I pray today for people in this house. I pray for broken people in a beautiful place. I pray for people who brought their cups today, hoping for just a crumb, hoping for just a scrap, hoping for just a small touch, a taste that would get them through to next Sunday. But you have surprised them today. Your word has said, wait a minute, I've got more for you than that. I'm not interested in just satisfying your thirst temporarily. I want to give you water that means you'll never thirst again. Great expectations. I want to raise and redefine your expectation. I pray today for these hearts. I pray today for these people today that you would meet that need. Hear me, if you're in this house today and you need God to do a work in your life, I invite you, come. Let God do that work in your life. Let God move powerfully in your life. Let God work incredibly in your life. If you need a miracle in your body, if you've got pain in your body right now, we've already seen a miracle in this room today with someone getting touched in their knees. That same power is in this house right now for you. Same power is here to work and to move in your life and in your world. Just allow Him to do it. Wait.